from our lexicon. Ideally, certain terms should be erased. You cannot say, hey guys, when you're greeting your pals. Think of what that implies to the ones who are gals. Now please don't demur, not in this day and age, for you just might stir my moral outrage.
Yes, you might stir her moral outrage.
Like That continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Joy Powers. From Congress to City Hall, Americans are engaging in a heated national discussion, picking apart topics from climate change and the economy to gun control and healthcare, particularly at town halls where politicians aim to connect with their constituents. Tempers have flared.
Comedy writer Jason Powell has found inspiration in the tension. His new musical, Only We Know Best, uses town hall mayhem as a backdrop for the comedic production. Unlike his previous work, Powell's newest play aims for more depth beyond the laughs. He spoke with Like Effect contributor Mayan Silver about what he hopes to accomplish with his production.
In a larger sense, if you want to talk about the theme of the show, what had really come to preoccupy my mind was there almost seems to be this taken-for-granted notion that the only way you could possibly be on the other side of the aisle is if there's something wrong with you. That, you know, almost like there's some intrinsic flaw in your brain. So the opening song is the same as the title. It's Only We Know Best, and it's basically everyone saying essentially that, you know, America's got a lot of problems, but luckily we know how to solve it. And, you know, and here are the problems. You know, there's fraud, there's corruption, there's stupidity, but fortunately only on the other side, so we can fix it.
You can't possibly be suggesting that there's a disconnect between the right and left in the country, right?
No, I would never suggest such a thing.
Never imply that.
I had a friend who I've only met him in person once. We actually met online and became really good friends over just having similar tastes in pop culture before I don't know how long we had been friends before I realized that he was a pretty staunch Republican, and it really kind of took me back for a second because it was kind of, I felt like a perfect thing to happen to me. I'm really glad that it did because it snapped me out of that a little bit because I'd already come to respect him. He's very articulate. He's very smart. And so it really kind of snapped me for a second, like, because I realized how quickly I was almost ready to write him off as soon as I found out he was a Republican. Like, oh, I must have been wrong. I guess he's not intelligent and cool, you know? And I thought, what way? That's not how it should be. And a lot of the content of this show came out of conversations with him. We sort of realized that we could have conversations about politics and even arguments, and that it was all cool. Like, no matter how heated it might get, we'd be friends at the end of it. And that kind of, I feel like, at least for me, gave me the freedom to really, you know, ask him questions, you know, challenge him on stuff, A lot of that ended up becoming kind of grist for the mill when I was sort of putting together, because in the show there are a lot of Republicans, a lot of Democrats.
Right. So it's a town hall setting, and, you know, characters come in, and that's a really big hot spot in our country today and in recent times. And you have a bunch of different songs. Can you just tell us about kind of the layout of the musical?
It's not the most plot-driven musical you'll ever see. It's very much. I've kind of compared it to stuff like a chorus line, which, if you're not familiar, is essentially just a line of people all auditioning for a show, and it's one of them steps forward and it's like, oh, I'm going to ask you a few questions about why you want to be in the show or how you got your start as an actor, and then they just sing a song or do a monologue, and then, all right, number two, now let's hear from you. And so there's no real plot. There are like a few small or short character arcs, but certainly not a lot of twists and turns or anything like that.
You know, there's different characters, and some of them are from the left, some of them are from the right, stereotypically, or representative of what one side in particular thinks of the other. And, you know, I wanted to ask you about this one called The Climate Change Cha-Cha.
Listen to me, I'm a scientist, and just like you, I've certainly noticed. More and more, it's becoming the norm for our globe to be luxuriously warm. Oh, feel the hot, hot.
So, you know, it's really, when I heard the title of that, I kind of was expecting something upbeat Latin rhythms, you know, and then ultimately the song is a little bit somber with piano and some tambourine, but then you have someone say cha-cha-cha, and it kind of... to kind of add some levity.
Let's all get together and enjoy the weather in the shade. It's 100 degrees. Cha, cha, cha.
But it's very cleverly written. Can you tell me a little bit about that one?
Sure, yeah. It was a couple things. You know, I was kind of looking for ways to treat these different topics with comedy. And it was, and it might, again, my friend that I was just talking about, Jay, he may have pointed, because he knew I was working on the show, and he kind of pointed me towards articles, specifically stuff that dealt with the scientists who deny it or you know, who are kind of downplaying, you know, the how much humanity or mankind is contributing to it. And somebody, and I like I said, I don't remember his name, but there's a quote where he talks about how this extra layer of CO2 is, it'll be like a nice warm jacket that you slip on. And I thought, wow, that's really, really defending it. And that kind of became the basis. There's a line in the song.
Yes.
The sensation of elevated CO2 is like a soft blanket wrapped around you. You can believe all of these.
And that kind of was the seed. And I thought, oh, you know, a cha-cha, you know, has a kind of tropical beat. And so just that's where the whole idea came from of celebrating how nice and luxuriously warm the country is getting.
Yeah, that's funny. And then, you know, you find out that this guy who's singing the song, the scientist, is actually, I mean, I don't want to spoiler alert, but right. He's kind of in the pockets of some corporations, actually.
And that went back to a really long, like my first sort of encounter with the issue. Another Republican friend of mine who had a blog and linked to this scientist who was saying, you know, the reason for this whole orthodox notion about mankind contributing to climate change is scientists have to kind of like toe the line if they want to get grants and stuff. They have to say that they believe that. A lot of these scientists don't even really think that. And I thought, oh, I didn't. Is that true? And then someone sort of gave me, you know, the guy who's saying that gets millions of dollars a year from oil companies because he goes around, he does these lectures to these boardrooms.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, okay, so that's kind of where that idea came from.
And I wanted to ask you about the title for that one, Climate Change Cha-Cha. I mean, if someone's sidestepping or towing an issue, it's kind of like they're cha-chaing around the issue,
right.
You know? So I kind of thought that was very clever of you, too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was one of those things that every song in the show, I mean, I shared with you a couple songs, of course, and I tried to make every song in the show its own kind of musical genre. And there's a lot of fun in kind of trying to match a genre to an issue, and so many Latin flavored songs kind of have this sort of invocation of heat, you know. It's sort of it's getting hot, ha, ha,
yeah.
Hot, you know. It's sort of, it seemed like a perfect fit.
Oh,
somehow,
that's
you know?
Cool. Yeah, totally. And it's kind of like you said, the big point of this. A big point of the show is equal opportunity skewering, right? I mean, you're trying to poke fun at pretty much everybody. Nobody's exempt.
More or less, yeah. I think at the end of the day, it's probably like a two-thirds ratio. I probably make fun of Republicans maybe twice as much. But
right,
it's kind
okay.
of a two. But that said, part of that too was that it felt like that was more interesting material to explore because it deliberately forced me to think in terms that I don't usually think in. Sometimes it seemed like to do a song from the point of view of the left was so obvious, and not to make assumptions about who's going to see the show, but a lot of people who come to see theater probably be a little left-leaning, and so I sort of wanted to do more things that were kind of in an interesting, in the opposite camp, you know, kind of getting inside those kind of mindsets. There's a song about coal mining companies and communities. There are entire communities in parts of the country that when people talk about the coal industry and how the EPA's regulations kind of put such a damper on it, and it was an issue where it seemed like the left was surprisingly uncompassionate to my mind, and made me wonder how many people realize that, you know, this is not just one guy over here and one guy over here losing his job. There are entire communities where everyone who lives in that community, their job is at the coal mine or, you know, the coal factory.
Yeah. Makes me wonder, how is it so easy for you to find the humor in these situations? How do you zero in on that?
Oh, well, I guess I just follow the model of anything from, you know, the Colbert Report to Weekend Update or political comedians.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, any of that stuff that just kind of satirizes things. And
yeah.
And it just seems like a good way, you know, if part of the issue that you know, again, going back to the title and the we know best and the sort of arrogance of that notion that the other side is all fools and we're all right. It almost seems like humor is the best way to kind of pierce that a little bit, you know, and
yeah,
you know, for better or for worse. And again, you can't second guess what people are gonna do, you know.
Sure.
I don't know if people are going to come and say, this is not, you shouldn't be joking about this stuff. You know, I don't know. You know,
right.
To my mind, it just seems like the best way to deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's where my mind goes anyway, is just to, you know, I prefer a musical comedy to a musical drama. So.
Well, on that note, you did bring your guitar and you have a piece about something that not too many people joke about, capital punishment.
Well, it's, yeah, this is one of those, I guess you could argue this is kind of in a gray area because it's not, I don't know that it's quite funny, but it's, and doing it today with just me, it's actually a bit of a sing-along. It's in that Cab Calloway style of singing something and then have the audience kind of sing it back to you.
Folks, I'm gonna lay it out simple and plain. Murderers and rapists are society's bane. If you think that punishment should be humane, then I'll come back with one straightforward refrain. Oh, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. I'm not saying that jail should not rehabilitate. Some who go crooked can still be set straight. But if you like to murder and mutilate, then sorry, son, you've earned a less merciful fate. Oh, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. On basic human rights we all can agree. Life and liberty belong to everybody. But if you break the law, you lose liberty. So if you also lose life, that's fine with me. So if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. If you can't do the time, I've heard the logic that liberals prefer. Killing killers is illogical, it doesn't deter. You want to save the life of some murderer? Go find the victim's daughter and explain it to her.
Wow, that was really cool.
Thank you. See, that one kind of is more, it's upbeat and then it kind of takes a little turn at the end.
Yes, interesting. And, you know, I'm seeing it. I'm kind of picturing it, like people stepping up forward at this town hall and singing their piece. And the lyrics are very engaged with the issues that are going on, you know, with things that are going on with people.
To me, it comes back to that idea of just remembering that the people on the other side of the debate are still human beings. And whatever they might believe, you know, even though you might think it's misguided, you know, they, for the most part, at least if you're talking, I mean, obviously there are politicians who are corrupt and who have been bought and sold by whoever. I realize that. And that's true on both sides of the aisle, too. But, you know, people like you and me are just, you know, everyday people who are not in the business of politics, but just have our opinions. We've all come in by them, honestly. And it's not like anyone wants the worst thing for the country. And everyone really, and that, I guess that's the other aspect of the title of the connotations of a word like best, you know, is that, you know, we want the positive thing. We all want what is best for the country and for people. And, you know, if people have the opposite opinion from you, it's not because they want the worst for people. You know, whatever they think that it's the best thing too. And I guess you're, again, coming back to the humor of it and doing a show that's comedic. Hopefully, I don't know, laughter is a way to sort of maybe get everybody in a more jovial mood and maybe thinking more warmly about people they disagree with.
Cool. Well, Jason Powell, thanks for spreading the smiles, and thanks for coming on Lake Effect and talking about your musical comedy.
Thank you very much for having me.
Writer and actor Jason Powell's newest musical comedy is called Only We Know Best. It's presented by Milwaukee Metro Voices and opens Friday night at Next Act Theater.